side. Welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, and we did it, folks. Preseason's over. The next thing on the Buccaneers calendar, if you don't count the devastating cuts that will alter people's lives over the next couple of days, but the next on-field action on the Bucs calendar, and as fans, the next action on our calendar, Bucs Saints, a week from Sunday, week one. We got through the four games, and the Buccaneers are now 2-2 to finish the preseason. None of that matters, but we will talk about what happened as we record tonight. It is 1:15 in the morning. I got to be honest with you, it's going to be a fun show because I'm feeling a little punchy, a little loosey-goosey. I'm really tired. I had thought about doing the show before the game today, thinking, you know, let me just do my regular Thursday show. It's the fourth preseason game anyway. Nothing of import will happen that will change what I would have talked about. And then I said, you know what? Let me just wait. I don't like to do a show right before a game. Then the game happens and I just, you know, even a fourth preseason game, I'd rather just let the whole thing marinate and have it all happen so that we can reflect on whatever it is that took place. And I'm glad I waited because some things did happen tonight that I want to get to on the show today. If you want to get a hold of me, email's BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com, all spelled normally, all one word, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com on Twitter. I'm at BobbyGameDay. The free stretch is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, and I want to tell you what. New general manager Sean Sullivan is a true Bucs fan. He is a stick carrier. He's taking over there. He invites all free stretch listeners and their families down to Bill Curry Ford to see the savings they're offering to the Tampa community. If you go to the website, go to BillCurryFord.com, you can select the car you're interested in. Just using the words Joe Bucs fan will get you an additional $500 off. It's just literally if you just reference the site, reference me, reference the free stretch. Just say Joe Bucs fan. $500 savings. It is that easy. Come enjoy the Curry experience that has proudly served the Tampa community for 58 years now. Bill Curry Ford. It's just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry and at BillCurryFord.com on the website as well. I go way back with them over at Bill Curry Ford. I remember like early in my radio career doing remotes live from the showroom floor, which I used to really enjoy. I think we sat inside a couple of cars one time. And I got so used to doing that on the remotes that now that I do my podcast, where do you think I'm sitting right now doing this podcast? And I'm not just saying this. I'm sitting inside my Ford Explorer in my driveway at 1 in the morning with my eyes trained on the front door of my house to make sure nobody tries to do anything. You know, it just feels weird sitting in your car in your driveway at 1 in the morning. But everyone's asleep. I came home late. I was at the game tonight. And so I couldn't record this in the house. I had to come out here. But it's fine because I love my Explorer. And they got plenty of those at Bill Curry Ford and many other things as well. As the free stretch is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Also, looking at what we're going to get to on the show today. So I want to talk about this fourth preseason game tonight. I'm not going to get into the nuts and bolts of every little thing. It's obviously not that important, but when I say not that important, I just mean it's not that important in the overall scheme of what we as fans maybe pay attention to. But, you know, a lot of people, and this happens every year, all preseason, but particularly in the final week, the fourth preseason game, a lot of people bad-mouthing the whole thing. A lot of people saying, oh my God, what a joke this is. Can we get this over with already? Why are we doing this? This is so stupid. I hate it. Boring, boring, boring. And like I always say, hey, maybe so, but better to have a game than not have a game. We could just not have a game this week and have like 2 weeks off till the first game, and that'd be fine. We'd get through it. There was college football tonight, heaven knows. But I thought it was nice having a Bucs game. And on top of that, you got to think about, I mean, we're talking about people's livelihoods, and I know that people think the fourth preseason game is boring, but I only think that they think that because of the way it's packaged. And if there was like a Hard Knock style reality show for every team, or if every one of these local broadcasts, like we have WFLA Channel 8 in Tampa, you know, every team has like a local broadcast station doing their preseason games. And they're just, you know, they don't do this very often. They're just throwing the games on. The broadcasts are not bad, but they're not usually very high in bells and whistles or getting deep inside. You know, they're just, they're very basic broadcasts. And I'm not complaining about that, but my point is, you know, what if they really got inside people's heads, almost made it like a reality show, you know, said, hey, here's Bobo Wilson. Here's, you know, Bernard Reedy. And these guys are trying. One of these guys is going to maybe make the team as the sixth guy. One of them's probably not. You know, really looking at that stuff, I mean, it's very dramatic, and people make fun of it. But there was a tweet that came out earlier tonight, and I actually had a lot of appreciation for this. It was from Lewis Riddick, who's an ESPN analyst, former NFL defensive back. And he said, quote, and this is about an hour before the games all started earlier this evening. I'm recording this on Thursday night. He says, a lot of big talk about how poor, sorry, bad, not entertaining, etc. week number four of the NFL preseason is. These men are busting their ass trying to accomplish something that could change their lives forever on the upside. Maybe show some respect. And yeah, you know, again, I'm not telling you to like the fourth preseason game, but it's easy for us in the peanut gallery to sit here and make fun and, oh my God, this sucks, and there's nobody, we don't even recognize any of the names out here. We're not going to see any of these guys next week. Well, you know what the NFL minimum salary is? The minimum salary. It's enough to buy and sell most of our sorry asses, me doing this show and you listening to it. Most of us, all right, it's $480,000. Now, I want you to imagine, just close your eyes, and we've probably all had job interviews before and had a chance to get a job we wanted or a chance to get a raise or something like that. And, you know, maybe it happened, maybe it didn't, whatever. And you had nerves and things like that. But very few of you, maybe some of you out there listening, maybe, but very few of you have probably encountered or experienced that on the scale of what these players go through. And again, I mean, $480,000, and there's no, like, degrees of it, like, oh, well, you know, if I don't do that well, I'll make $380 instead of $480, or maybe I'll make $250, which is still, no, you either make $480 or $1,000 a year, which if you just do it for a year is enough to put that away and really set you up, not for life, obviously, but really set you up for your future where you can, you know, get going if you're in your 20s, I mean, $480,000 just to be in the NFL for a year. It's a big deal. Or the alternative is just nothing. Like, you just get nothing. Like, literally, on Monday, you could be, like, applying for jobs as any number of things. Or $480,000 with no in-between. Maybe you make the practice squad, and I think they make, what, like, $75,000 a year, which is pretty good for the average person. But again, even that pales in comparison. I mean, the pressure, I was there at the game earlier tonight, and I was down there in the tunnel, like, out in the field in warm-ups, and I was watching the players, like, walking out on the field, like, right where the Bucks tunnel is. And especially for a fourth preseason game, it's almost all guys, the ones that are playing, are people who are definitely trying to win jobs and maybe will be unemployed by this time on Monday, or maybe will be making, again, nearly $500,000 a year by this time next Monday. And the difference could be literally just what happens on a couple of plays. And it's not necessarily just that, because they've got a whole body of work with camp and things like that. But still, I mean, the crucible of it, I just got nervous thinking about it. I was looking at those guys in the eyes, and I was trying not to, like, gawk at them or anything, like they were zoo animals or something on display, but, like, I was really trying to look at them and just see if I could tell what was going on in their souls, you know? Like, it's just, I can't imagine doing anything like that. Like I said, I've had job interviews for things that I really wanted, and, you know, sometimes I've gotten them, sometimes I haven't. It's never been anything that, like, even remotely compares to something like that, though, at least not financially. And, man, I mean, you know, these guys, a lot of them have families, a lot of them have kids, a lot of them don't, but it's a lot of pressure. And I think, again, people just kind of get a little casual with the whole, you know, fourth preseason game, screw this is dumb, what a terrible product, blah, blah, blah. And I get it, because when you watch the game on TV, it doesn't get presented to you that way. You don't get to really get inside of the drama that much. But if you think about it, I mean, think about just the long snapper. And yes, we are at the point now where we're talking about long snapping here. That's where the preseason's taking us. But the Bucks, you know, they've had Garrison Sanborn for a long time. He's a Jesuit high grad, same as me. Went to FSU, then went long snap for the Bucks for a while. Anyway, they decided to move on from him. So they got a guy named Drew Ferris, who's been long snapping this preseason. Well, Drew Ferris, again, I will remind you, this is the long snapper, okay? This is not a guy who plays a ton of football in these situations, and it's not a guy who's going to be on the field a bunch or at all, unless it's a special teams play. But the minimum salary in the NFL is, say it with me, $480,000. So Drew Ferris was probably really, really excited when he got the call from the Bucks in the offseason. Hey, we want you to be the long snapper. We're moving on from Sanborn. You're the guy. Whoa, you know, like, can you imagine telling your family that? Like, maybe you graduated college and you took a shot and you couldn't quite crack anybody's lineup, so you started working, you know, maybe you started selling cars, or maybe you've worked as a camp counselor, or maybe any number of things, whatever. And you're making, you know, whatever money you're making. And then you get a call that, hey, you want to come try and be our long snapper and maybe make, you know, $500,000. Okay. So Drew Ferris has been doing that. Well, and again, you may not notice much just watching on TV. I certainly haven't. But on the missed extra point, not this week, but last week against Detroit, when the Bucks missed an extra point, snap was a little bit low on that, and it kind of threw off the timing. The hole didn't get up totally upright, and Catanzaro missed an extra point, one of two he's missed in this preseason. So literally, you slip up. Okay, no, sorry about that, coach. It's cool. Sorry, I'll get the next one. Nope. They're on the phone with Garrison Sanborn. 24 hours later, his ass is in a locker next to yours, and they've called him back to try and replace you and take your job. And not a job, again, for like, you know, $50,000 or something where you go get another. A job for $480,000 because you made a little bit of a low snap. So now this week in practice, you get to practice with Garrison Sanborn, and you both get to long snap. And in the final preseason game, he's going to get all the reps. And if he makes good snaps, they'll probably cut you, and that'll be it. And you won't go to some other team, you know, you just be on, you know, hey, honey, I'm home. What are we doing Monday? Because I don't have a job to go to. Again, one bad snap. If he had made a good snap, and again, I'm not there at practice. Maybe there's been other things that I haven't noticed, but the way it was presented by reading the paper and following everything I follow is that, yeah, he made a bad snap on an extra point. They missed the extra point, so they called in a replacement. And we'll find out in, you know, just watching the game on earlier tonight, watching the game, I didn't notice anything with the snaps. It seemed like Garrison Sanborn did fine. We'll see if the Bucks decide to go back to him or if they end up letting Ferris keep the job after all. I'm not sure. The Bucks are obviously very flaky with the whole kicker snapper thing. If they end up keeping Garrison Sanborn, it's like, why the hell did you get rid of him to begin with? But either way, just, again, think about that pressure. And I know we all, I mean, I do this, we all think being a professional athlete is the ideal existence. Or maybe we don't all do that, but I've certainly done that. I mean, I don't think it's easy by any stretch, but I've always thought, you know, that's a job that if I had the talent, I could do, because I like to work out. I mean, I just work out all day. I do that anyway. Play my sport. I mean, what a great lifestyle. Have my money. You're making seven figures or at least six figures. Those guys have it made. Well, you know, they also deal with pressure the likes of which most of us can't comprehend. And again, a lot of you out there may be saying, no, Bobby, there's pressure at my job. And you might be right. You might be, you know, an emergency room surgeon or something like that, you know. But most jobs, even the very difficult ones, even the highly skilled ones, even the ones that require an advanced degree or things like that, once you have the job, you can't coast, you can't be a slacker or anything, but you get a little bit of, like, you're not going to get fired for making one mistake. And then there are maybe some jobs that are like that, but most jobs, you have a bad day or two, it's still your job. You know, there's pressure, but there's not that much pressure, like day-to-day pressure. But if you're a long snapper in the NFL and you make one bad snap in a preseason game, boom, there's somebody right there next to you 24 hours later auditioning for your gig. Imagine that, like, really, if you're an accountant or something, or if you're, I mean, just imagine that, like, oh man, I made a little boo-boo there on that spreadsheet. Hey, my bad. Oh, no problem, Steve, just hang on. Gets on the phone. Yeah, Mike, need you to come in. We're going to try you out. Just see if you can, Steve made a mistake on the spreadsheet and we want to have you take a look here. Just like that. I mean, it would drive me insane. It would probably drive most of us insane. I've been reading a book, and it's actually a really fun read. A guy named Stefan Fatsis, who actually has written a couple of good books that I've enjoyed, but the one he wrote, this one's about 10 years old now. It's called A Few Seconds of Panic. And he's a writer. He actually convinced, this is back in 2006, he convinced the Denver Broncos He asked a bunch of teams, including the Bucks, and got turned down, but he convinced the Broncos to allow him to go into training camp and just actually be a player on the team for camp as a kicker. And he was not an athlete in any way. He was an ex-soccer player in high school, but that was it. And he hired a kicking coach and things like that, and he started training, and he got to go to camp as a kicker with Jason Elam and Todd Sauerbrunn, the punter. And I mean, he was there. Like, they let him do the full thing. They gave him the uniform, the pads. He was in the drills. I mean, just like any other player, he got to do that. And it's, if you have a chance to check the book out or read it online or what have you, it's called A Few Seconds of Panic. The author is Stefan Fatsis. Really good stuff. And one of the things he talks about in the book is he gets to know, and this is back when Jake Plummer was the quarterback of the Broncos, and he gets to know him a little bit and some of the other guys. And, you know, he talks about the existence of a professional athlete, and this is during a training camp, which is obviously not a great time of year for these guys. But he says, and they say as he talks to them, the one thing that they wish people understood more, because people like me pretty much think of their lifestyle as the ideal lifestyle and think that they live in a fantasy land where it's all money and chicks and staying in shape. And they all, almost to a man, told him, I wish people understood the crushing pressure. Like, you can never just have your job. Like, a few people can. You know, there's a few guys who ascend to that level where, okay, hey, I can come and go as I please. I got to get my work in. I don't have to worry about getting cut. They're not getting anybody behind me. A few guys like that. But for your average on your NFL roster of 53 guys, you know, from number 9 or 10 on down, again, just crushing pressure all the time, always looking over your shoulder, always trying to stay ready, always trying to be there when you get called on and not make that fatal mistake that'll cost you a lifetime of earnings, a potential retirement nest egg, the ability to support your family or do all these other things just like that because you made a mistake. When I think about it more, I haven't thought about it much, but the fourth preseason game got me thinking about it, and reading this book got me thinking about it. I think I understand. I mean, it's just one of those things, man. So that's all I wanted to say about the game tonight as far as people making fun of it and things like that. And if you cut off preseason games, which they may come down one day, Jerry Jones just floated the idea again this week. Hey, let's have 18 regular season games and 2 preseason games. He said player safety was the reason for it. I kind of squinted and thought I misunderstood, but he claimed player safety was the reason they need to extend the regular season from 16 to 18 and cut the preseason from 4 to 2. And it actually is true that guys get hurt at a little higher clip in preseason games than regular season games, but it's not because preseason games themselves are more dangerous. Do you know why it is? It's because they're the first games. Guys, you know, aren't quite there. So no matter what you do, there will be first games. The first few games are the first few games, whether they're preseason or regular season, and injury rates are higher those first few times out. But I've said before on this show, and I'll say again, I think 16 is the perfect number. And you know me, I love football. I mean, you could give 20 games, 30 games. It's easy for me to say as a fan, but I really think as far as, one, for the well-being of the players, and two, just for the idea of not oversaturating things, because I think one of the reasons football is so wonderful is because there's a premium on it. You only get those 16 Sundays a year and a couple more in the playoffs if you're lucky. You know, as much as I love hockey, I'm a huge hockey fan. Hockey season's getting ready to start because it only takes 20 minutes off in between the Stanley Cup ending and the training camp beginning. And I'm not like, oh, here's hockey season, you know, because it's just like, whatever. It's hockey season 9 months of the year, for God's sake. As me, I love hockey any less. I love hockey, but it's not like a state of mind the way football is. I mean, I was so happy today, not just because, I mean, obviously we had a Bucks game, even though it was a preseason game, but today was the opening night of college football. There were a few games this past Saturday, but tonight was the big Thursday night slate. It's the start of a 5-day football week, and there's games Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday night, all the way through FSU playing Virginia Tech on Labor Day night. And I mean, I was just giddy. Like, I wish I could bottle the feeling I have this time of year and have it all year long. But if I could, it probably wouldn't be that feeling, because there's something special about football season because there's so few of those games. And 18 versus 16, I guess, wouldn't change the way I feel about football season, but it's just creep, you know? You start creeping up, creeping up, creeping up. And I just think the way it is fine. I wouldn't mind if they cut a couple of preseason games or cut one preseason game just to do it. But I don't need 18 games. And Jerry Jones knows damn well it has nothing to do with safety. He's just trying to make more money. But again, it's a hard thing to reconcile given everything that we see and now everything that we know and everything that's been talked about. I mean, the very first play of the whole college football season tonight, play number one, literally the opening kickoff in the UCF-Connecticut game, UCF player gets taken off on a stretcher. First play, one play in. So how does that look when then Jerry Jones says, oh yeah, let's do 18 instead of 16, you know. So I'm okay with the status quo. I'm one of those people that won't try and disrupt the apple cart on this one. But that's what people want to do. Now, as far as tonight's game, and again, email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com, Twitter at BobbyGameDay. Oh, and the fridge schedules. If you want a fridge schedule, tons of requests I've been getting. I've been sending them out. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. I'll just send you the Microsoft Word file. You can print it out. Color printer recommended. Again, for those of you that don't know, that haven't heard before, I do a custom-made fridge schedule. I actually sit down and type it up with the logos of every team, the Big Bucks logo on top, all the opponents' logos, dates, times. Because I like to have a nice 8.5 by 11 big sheet of paper there on the fridge. I like to write the scores in. I leave space for that. And it doesn't cut it for me anymore to just cut something out of the newspaper. I want my own thing. So I've been doing that for about, almost 15 years now. And just this year, it dawned on me, hey, why not have the ability to send these to people that want to have them on their fridge or in their office, on their clipboard? So you can do that now. Just email me, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com, and I'll send one back to you. So as far as the game tonight, Ryan Griffin looked pretty good. He had a couple bad throws that should have been picked off that weren't. But if you just look at his overall numbers, had a touchdown pass, 151 yards passing in the first half alone. And he made his case. And I know Dirk Cutter, I mean, we've talked about this on the show, but I know Dirk Cutter just kind of never really made it sound like there was a quarterback competition when Jameis got suspended and it was just, yep, next man up, Fitzpatrick's our guy. But I wonder, like, if Ryan Griffin, I mean, obviously Dirk Cutter's going to do what he thinks is best for the Bucs. He's got his reasons. But I was curious, like, maybe Ryan Griffin could have been the starter for those first three games. As it is, though, that's not the case. And again, he was decent tonight. Not as good as maybe the stats will look like because he got away with a couple. But all preseason long, not just tonight, a good performance. He will be on the roster in the regular season, which for him, I mean, he's been in camp so many times, it's going to be good to see him out there. Or if he gets out there, you know, for those first three games, though, he will be on the sidelines with Ryan Fitzpatrick getting the start. And maybe four games because, and this is something I'll probably talk about more on future shows as we get to it, but the talk keeps being talked about Jameis Winston possibly missing the fourth game too. And the thought process is, well, you know, we kind of got unlucky with this, but I guess having a quarterback suspended at all is unlucky. But the three-game suspension, well, that third game is a Monday night game. So now you're looking at Winston coming back in a short week. And remember, he can't, like, practice with the team even while he's missing games. He's legitimately fully suspended. He has to be gone from one Buck place. Can't associate with the team. Can't be on the team facility grounds. None of that stuff. He left tonight. He was where I saw him tonight on the way out of the stadium. And he ain't coming back until it's time, you know. So do you want to rush him back? Is a short week with a Monday night game and then a road game enough? You have to worry about traveling on Saturday, plus you don't even get to start the week till Tuesday. You know, that whole thing. And people are saying, Jason Light himself even alluded to it tonight on the broadcast. He was interviewed in the fourth quarter by Chris Myers and Rondi Barber, and Light said, quote, when asked about Jameis starting in week four, I don't think it's fair to say right now that he'll be the guy. Which is non-committal, obviously, but he didn't say, oh, no, he's going to start, which I would have been thinking. I mean, what, are you kidding me? It's not like we play a baseball season of 162 games, and yeah, we'll keep him out one more game. I mean, you're looking at a quarter of the season now. I don't care how short the week is. He knows the damn playbook. Get his ass out there and start him against the Bears. Now, obviously, having this discussion now, it's going to depend a lot on what the team and Fitzpatrick looks like in those first three games. You know, we could be, by the end of the second game, saying, yeah, I think this is a pretty easy call. He's starting in Chicago. Or maybe things go really well, and you say, yeah, we can give him an extra week. But to me, it seems, I think it's borderline crazy. I mean, we need him for every single snap we can have him for, to me. And you can't just, not that you're going to lose for certain if you don't start him, but you can't just throw games around casually like, ah, yeah, give him one more week. And this isn't some rookie. I mean, he could play on a short week. It's not that big of a deal, or it shouldn't be. But that was something they talked about tonight. But Griffin looked pretty good in playing the first half. And then you had Ronald Jones, and that's, you know, Ronald Jones, first of all, tonight, just tonight, he had 10 carries for 4 yards. 10 carries for 4 yards, now that looks bad, okay? We all know that looks bad. If you saw the game, like much of the other preseason carries he's had, and that 10 for 4 yards tonight brought him to a grand total for the regular, or excuse me, for the preseason, of 28 carries for 22 yards. He averaged less than a yard a carry in the preseason. Now, I have two thoughts on Ronald Jones, and they're on either end of the spectrum. My first thought is to be, you know, the, not, I don't want to say Pollyanna, but I'm always the let's be measured, let's not be reactionary, let's not freak out. You know, he's a draft pick, okay? He's not going anywhere. He's a high draft pick. These were his first carries in the NFL, period. You can't tell much. Even as bad as it was the preseason, and you have to admit mitigating factors where Ronald Jones has been getting hit behind the line of scrimmage, I mean, more often than not on all these carries. That doesn't mean it completely excuses going 28 for 22 yards. But even tonight, 10 carries for 4 yards, I mean, he didn't have a... There weren't any runs where I was like, oh, man, I thought he'd get more on that. I mean, maybe a couple. You know, that's what running backs are supposed to do. They're supposed to surprise you. And, oh, I thought he'd get 2, he got 4. I thought he'd get 4, he got 8. You know, that type of thing. Ronald Jones definitely hasn't done that. But at the same time, I mean, he's been dead to rights upon touching the ball much of the time. And our offensive line, and we'll talk about this next week when we preview the season, but our offensive line scares me. I'm still worried about this team just because of the offensive line. I'm not sold on them at all. But anyway, so on one end of the spectrum, I tend to say, you know, I'm not too worried about it. He'll be fine. He's a very talented back, and talent wins out at the end of the day. He's having a rough start, but he'll be fine. On the other end of the spectrum, though, goes back to what I've argued many times before in the past, and this just reinforces it, and we'll see when the regular season starts. I could be wrong, but I really do think, and I've been validated on this so many times in the past, running backs, they're interchangeable. They're 95 to 90% of them are interchangeable. Or I shouldn't even say interchangeable. I should say easily acquired. You know, you get your Saquon Barkley, those types. Okay, that's, you know, Ezekiel Elliott. Couple guys on the very upper end of the spectrum that are maybe difference makers. But other than that, and this is why I don't like spending high picks on them. I mean, honestly, a guy off the street and a guy you draft in the second round, you could get the same exact production from one or the other. It's almost seemingly totally random. And even when you get good production, even that from one year to the next fluctuates. We saw that with Doug Martin, who obviously had quite the production when he was playing for a contract, but otherwise didn't seem to have much, and the Bucs moved on from him this year. Again, if you just did nothing but get free agent running backs, I honestly think the difference between that and drafting guys up high and things like that is almost negligible. And you look at Geis from LSU, who I had my eye on in the draft. He went to the Redskins. He tore his ACL already. He's out for the year. Ronald Jones has been MIA when he's been touching the ball. And again, I think he's going to be fine. I'm not saying he's a bust or anything, but I'm just saying this is why you don't have to do these things with running. They're just running backs. And I'm not trying to degrade the position. It's just the nature of the position. If you got a guy with quicks, you can plug one in there, and if he can make a jump cut and things like that, he'll get some yards. So he was somebody tonight that, you know, you were hoping to see a little more out of, and he did get 10 carries, but 4 yards. So that'll be something to keep an eye on as the regular season gets going in a week and a half. And then you also had, looking at that receiver we were talking earlier about, the, you know, fifth and sixth receiver, Justin Watson, looking pretty good, caught a touchdown pass, and he already looked like he'd be the fifth receiver. Bobo, Watson, 5 catches, 51 yards. Bernard Reedy, 5 catches, 56 yards. But Bobo had 120 kickoff return yards on 5 kickoff returns. And, of course, preseason, they're bringing it out, baby. And the regular season kickoff return production is kind of muted. And I'll tell you, you know, when you have two guys and you're looking to only keep one, and we're talking about the fifth or sixth receiver on the depth chart, it really isn't about receiver anymore because that guy's almost never going to play receiver. So even if one guy is slightly ahead of the other at receiver, you're going to keep the guy who can do more things for you on special teams because that's where those roster spots get used. I mean, we could do a whole retrospective after this is over. Oh, you know, it came down to this. Who was it, Bobo or was it Reedy? Or, you know, let's break it down. Nobody cares. I mean, again, the sixth receiver is not going to impact a football game as a receiver, almost ever. But, again, as a kickoff returner or a special teams player of another nature, they could. So, having Bobo return the kicks the way he did, now I don't know if that'll be the way. In the regular season, again, the effect of what he can do is dampened because of the rules. And I know that they brought him out tonight because it's the preseason and why the hell not. But in the regular season, those are mostly going to be touchbacks. But it might be enough to get him the nod if they go six, and we'll see. But that was a good thing to see tonight. At least those guys were making some plays and things like that, and it was, you know, encouraging to see. And then, of course, one other guy who stood out to me, or at least I should say for a lack of standing out, was Noah Spence, who played a lot tonight, and that's obviously not something you would have thought a couple years ago you'd see, or we didn't hope to see that, you know, him playing in a fourth preseason game at this point in his career, but coming off the injury, trying to get back, you know, are they auditioning him for other teams? Are they showcasing him? Or are they just trying to get him reps for the Bucs? I'm not sure, but either way, there wasn't much to be seen by the Bucs or anybody else. Noah Spence, I think he had a tackle. He might have had a hurry, I think, but I'm not sure about that, and just generally did not hear his name called. And that's been kind of a trend this entire preseason as well. So, anyway, it's all over now. It doesn't matter anymore. The Bucs are going to have the whole league's going to make their cuts. It's all one fell swoop here. We're going from 90 guys to 53 by Saturday, so it's going to be a tough couple of days for a lot of people. Imagine being Dirk Cutter and Jason Light. I mean, you got to tell people they're cut every year, but you got to tell, I mean, you know, we're talking about 37 guys giving them horrible news, and that sucks. I mean, that nobody wants to have to do that, but and that's what's going to happen all over the league, not just here in Tampa, over the coming couple of days. So, with all that said, the Bucs wrap up the preseason at 2-2. It is over. I'm glad it's over, but it was fun as always. This whole month could have been a lot more boring if we had just had one or two preseason games. You might as well have had four if we're going to have the same amount of regular season games anyway. But now the regular season is here. A week from tonight, Eagles and Falcons. Of course, on Sunday, everything gets going with the Bucs at the Saints, which I'm not sure. I should check on this before I go on the air doing my show. I'm being derelict in my duties as a host, but as far as the trip to New Orleans, I don't know if there might be space left. If you want to check that out on the website, go to joebucksfan.com and check it out, because the Stick Carriers are doing their road trip right out of the gate, week one, New Orleans. And a lot of you may have been in New Orleans, a lot of you may not have. One of the great American cities. I love New Orleans, and my wife's family is partially from up that way, so I get up there, you know, about once every other year. Haven't been to a Bucs-Saints game there. I've been to the Superdome for other things, but I would love to go on a trip like this. I can't do it this year. But Bourbon Street, not just Bourbon Street, the whole French Quarter and the Garden District and, you know, walking along the river, Café du Monde, beignets, and chocolate milk on a Sunday morning. Oh, New Orleans is great. Check it out. Go to joebucksfan.com or tweet at the Joes, at joebucksfan, or tweet at me. And if you want to try and go on the trip and squeeze in a last-minute job, you still got about a week and a half to do that. So I want to thank the Joes for hosting this podcast, as always, on this website and allowing me to get in front of you guys. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to talk to y'all and to get as many people as they bring in front of me to get in front of you guys. I really appreciate the opportunity they give me. Thanks to all of you out there who email and tweet and all those things. thanks to Bill Curry Ford. The Dunedin Pirates, go to DunedinPirates.com if you want to play some football this year, and I mean real football. Check out the website, become a member of the team, join the Florida Football Alliance, and buckle your chin strap. I am still deliberating if I'm going to play another year at age 38 or not. If the league is ready for me, I'll be ready for the league. I'll put it that way. And in the meantime, if you want a fridge schedule or you want anything else, questions, comments, cushion, discussion, email me, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com or on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. That is the Free Stretch, final preseason edition. I will be back next Thursday, and we'll be getting ready to talk about a regular season, live-action Week 1 football game, Bucks and Saints. I cannot wait. In the meantime, have a great week. Get all your affairs in order, because we got college football starting this weekend. We got the NFL starting next weekend. The weekends are officially off limits as far as I'm concerned for anything else, but try and squeeze some things in. I might get my son's Little League games to start at 7 a.m. or something if I can, just to make sure there's no interference with even college game day, much less football. But do whatever you have to do. Take care of yourself. Get everything straightened out. And wherever you are, be safe. Thank you for listening. And good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.